You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
The stuff we're talking about tonight's, I think, pivotal for us in a couple of areas. Why are the gifts given to us? To help each other. To build up, to exhort, to encourage. We sing songs that have real meaning and real depth. And I think we're incredibly blessed with the worship team we have here. I love the music. I love the hearts of the people that are up there. I love what they present. I love lines in songs like Calling Me Home. It doesn't matter what family you came from. It doesn't matter whether it's functional or dysfunctional. There's something about being called home that makes you feel safe and secure. We also say some things which probably aren't necessarily 100% true. We need each other. If God's going to reach us, touch us, minister to the world, he's going to use other people. It's not often that God turns up and knocks on your front door and says, look, I'm here to have a word with you. But every now and then, one of your brothers can walk up and go, hey, I've got something I need to say to you. Let's just pray, and then we'll get into what we're talking about. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome in this place and in our lives. You give us meaning. You give us significance. You guide us and you direct us. You heal us. And you encourage us. And I just thank you for being here with us, Father. I thank you for sending your Son. And Jesus, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. Right now, Lord, let your word be spoken. Let the ears be open and let your truth be revealed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I did a bad thing. I had a holiday and I went away for a while. And I did a bad thing. I listened to one of my services here. And I just want to thank you all for coming back again. Because I wouldn't have. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak it in love. Any gift that God gives us, whether it's a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, healing, miracles, whatever, has to be given and used in love and for the benefit of others. And probably the most preeminent gift that we can use in that manner is a word of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians 14, when Paul is talking about prophecy, three times he says, earnestly desire this gift. Desire to prophesy. Desire to speak into other people's lives. Would you like to be able to prophesy? Does it scare you? Yeah. Matt, why does it scare you? Might get it wrong. Yeah. That's probably the main reason we don't do it. Tonight we're not looking at prophecy as a gift, we're looking at how we use prophecy. So, in your notes, and we will work off the notes tonight, the Holy Spirit's the messenger, and the man, whether it's me or Matt or Neil or Marg, we're just the mouthpiece. You don't have to come up with something good. You just have to speak the truth. We had Gary Wilson here last week. And during the evening and the morning, one of the men in our congregation had a specific word for a number of people. Was that mentioned this morning? No. And the impact that that word had on the person who received it was marked. It was beautiful to see. He knew that God saw his heart. He knew that God felt his pain. And he knew that God had spoken into somebody else a word that was delivered through that other person strictly to him. The impact on that was dramatic. Not just on the guy that had the word, but on us in the staff that heard it, when he came in and shared it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that was a more common occurrence, where we know that God is speaking into our hearts? There are people sitting here tonight who know that there's some brokenness or some pain or some unanswered questions that you have. And wouldn't it be wonderful if God spoke into your life and said, I heard that, this is the answer. We can, as the need is revealed to us, we can move in the words of prophecy. It's not hooky-booky. It's not up with the pixies. You're not floating somewhere off in the planets. You're simply hearing what God has to say and speaking it out. Okay. In the Old Testament, we hear about the Holy Spirit coming upon people, and he came on them. I think in your notes it talks about Moses. The Spirit rested on them. He did not go out of the tent, yet the Spirit also rested on those that were left inside the tent or inside the camp. The Spirit would come on people. The Spirit came on Saul, and Saul prophesied. Now, Saul wasn't exactly walking with the Lord, but when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he prophesied. In the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells in us continually. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, because there's no other way to be born again except to have the Spirit in you. So the Spirit that came upon people in the Old Testament now lives in us. And we need to learn to listen. As Chris said, that still, small voice. And yet it does take a degree of practice. It does take a degree of confidence or faith to step out. Prophecy can come in many, many forms. Who knows this one? Thus saith the Lord. Heard that one? Does that send shivers down your back or make you a bit nervous? Thus saith the Lord. That's merely one form, and it's an archaic form. It's not wrong, but it's traditional, and it's a specific, it actually shows a specific leaning or teaching. We pick up habits. They're not wrong, they're just habits. There was a time there where when people spoke, they spoke like this, sir. And the Lord had a word for you. It used to drive me nuts. It's not wrong. It's just something we pick up. In the Old Testament, prophecy came in the form of song, in poems. It came through a depiction of an event which was used as a prophetic insight or word. It came as a prediction, not just a depiction, but a prediction. There were allegories where stories were told and they meant something at the time, and they also meant something further along. We know that there are prophecies because they were fulfilled. And therefore, we could see with hindsight how the prophecy worked. And that's one of the tests of prophecy. There is speaking forth the word into a situation. And then there's foretelling something. It doesn't matter which one's being used, because the same Spirit is speaking to us. It has to come from God. If it comes from the man, you have a clay channel. Now, it doesn't matter how clear the water is. If it's going through a clay channel, it's going to get some impurities. And we need to be careful of that. It's unavoidable, though. And just in case you're worried that you may get it wrong, you're going to get it right for you. And the way you express it, if you're confident, you'll say it a certain way. And if you're not confident, you'll stagger and stutter and go, oh, geez, I wish I hadn't opened my mouth in the first place. But as you start to trust God more, that'll start to disappear. It's a practice. It's like anything else we do. the Holy Spirit speaks differently to every individual. So what he's going to say to Rick, or how he says it to Rick and how he says it to Nick, are totally different. For some, it comes through dreams. Has anyone here had a dream that God has given them, or in a night time when you sleep? Yep, okay. Anyone here had a vision? Okay. What's the difference? One's when you're asleep and one's when you're awake. Dreams and visions. The Lord uses those. Often, when we use the word prophecy, we're talking about a revelation, which means our eyes have been opened to see something. It may not be a new thing, but it can be a new revelation of an old thing. In the last couple of years, there's been a new revelation of the truth of the gospel of grace and the freedom that is inherent in that, where we no longer have to work for our salvation, even though we always said we didn't. We no longer have to perform to be acceptable. Has there been some trouble coming with that? Yeah. Why? Because the ones that didn't want to do it in the first place stop altogether, and there's an excess. People say, I can do whatever I like, and grace covers me. It does. It doesn't cover the consequences, it'll just cover you. If I run smack dab into a wall, grace isn't going to get in the way. I'm going to break my nose. That's not a punishment. That's a consequence for doing it. God's not in the punishment game, but he does want us to learn. And sometimes the way he teaches us best is for us to see the consequences for the choices we make. But just because the grace message has been abused, it doesn't mean it's not true. It's incredibly true, and it's had a real liberating effect on many, 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 many thousands of people. Can it be taken to excess? Yes, so can everything else. Some of the more mature members of the church may remember Johnny Ortiz. Johnny Ortiz, anyone know? Yeah, good. Juan Carlos Ortiz. He wrote a fantastic book on discipleship. People took it to an extreme, and it became a rule book whereby you broke anybody who didn't obey your every word. Was Johnny Ortiz wrong in writing it? No. The interpretation people put upon it was wrong. But it was a good book. And he's a great man. He's one of the true men of God that I know. We need to have our spiritual eyes opened, and we can ask for that, as we can ask to have our ears open. When Jesus spoke to the people at the Mount of Tabor, or Sermon on the Mount, he said, he who has ears to hear, hear. And those that your eyes are opened, open their eyes so they can see. So if you're having trouble, if you want to move in prophecy, that's one of the things you can look at. Just simply asking God to open your ears and learning to hear, and to open your eyes so that you can see. Prophecy comes in a number of forms, as we said, but the way we express it also can be off-putting at times. If I have a message and I go to my mate and I go, Gray has said that you are to give me your money and the keys to your car. Now, Graham has said it, and you can choose to obey what Graham says, or you can choose not to.
He's just been on a long plane trip.
So he's a bit tired and emotional. Yeah, okay. If I'm going to say that Graham said it, what do I need to be certain of? And what do you need to be certain of? That Graham actually said it. Now, if I walk up to you and say, the Lord has told me to tell you to do this or do that, well, the Lord better tell me as well. We need to be able to hear what God is saying. And when we're speaking, I'm a bit like Matt. I've prophesied a few times, but I've always drawn back from thus saith the Lord, and then moving into I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I have seen the way you walk. I know the cry of your heart. Which means I'm speaking in the first person I'm speaking as God. Do many people feel confident to speak as God? We're trying to be practical here. One of the ways to be practical is, I believe that this is what the Lord is saying to you. Do you mind if I share this with you? I have a strong impression that God wants to speak into your life, and I think he's saying this. Oh, that doesn't sound quite as spiritual, but it's a lot more helpful. So don't get caught up in a religious structure. Speak what the Lord has laid on your heart. And guess what? If you get something wrong, that's okay. That's okay. You know how you know somebody that's ready to be used by God? They're not afraid to fall over. They're not afraid to give it a go. And if your heart is humble and you want to be used by God, when you fall over and you pick yourself up or God picks you up, you don't get embarrassed. You go, yep, got to learn how to do that better. I've delivered words to people. Some of them thank me. Quite a few didn't. Depends how you deliver it and what motive is in your heart. We need to know that it's not about us. We're just the mouthpiece. One of the things we do, we can judge prophecy. If I said to Andy, or if I said into the church, the Lord is saying this right now, and he wants you to pay attention and listen to what he's saying. Are you going to be able to judge what I just said? Or are you going to be afraid that if you do judge that, you're going to be turning your heart or hardening your heart towards the Word of God? When somebody uses the first person, or when somebody speaks, this is what God is saying, and you go, well, actually, I don't think that's right. There is a tiny tremor in us that goes, well, hold on, I don't want to get it wrong. I don't want to be wrong. If that's what God is saying, what gives me the right to criticize that? So often things can go, can be said, which are not examined. And Paul directly tells us we need to examine it. If a prophecy is to be brought forth, the rest of us are to weigh it, to look at it and to weigh it. And if you've been given a prophecy, one of the processes that we need to do for both the person who gave it to us and for ourselves as we receive it is to go, we need to check this out. I need to put this on the shelf and examine it. We need to be sure of what God's saying, particularly if it's a directive word. You should go here and do that. You've got to be sure you're hearing from God with that one. And the only way you're going to be really sure is if you submit it for assessment. I'm jumping ahead here, but if you're going to work in prophecy, if you're going to move in prophecy, I would strongly suggest that you always have somebody else present when you're giving a word. Don't go ringing somebody up at 10:30 and say, the Lord just told me to tell you this. Because if you're going to be working in that isolation, too much room to be misinterpreted, too much room to be hurt. And prophecy, because it's such an important gift, can be one that is used badly or can be twisted quite easily. Many of the great men of God started off tremendously well and got drawn away or swept away because of certain anomalies in what they believed, and they wouldn't come under direction or supervision. We have to be under submission, not to a man, but to God and the establishment that God has put before us. We need each other. I like working at this place. Well, I like coming to this place. Why? Because if I step out of line, or if I do the wrong thing, or if I'm not being particularly good on a certain day, I've got a lot of people that will tell me. Then that makes me feel fairly secure. If I didn't listen to them, I would have said, oh, they're just jealous. Everybody hates me because I'm so popular. They're all out to get me. Well, you know, the common denominator is me, and I'm the one with the problem. We need each other. And in prophecy, more than probably any other gift, we need each other. We need to submit it. Okay. These are the forms of revelation. One, imagination. Is imagination a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. I wasn't going to wait for the answer. It's a good thing. God gave us imagination. I remember years and years and years ago, we had a prayer meeting. We were praying on a Sunday night in this church. And I don't know what it was about. We had some ministry coming over. There's something going on. And everyone's praying. We'd got together for a whole week, 7:30, every night of the week. And we're praying and we're praying and we're praying. And I remember I was standing up the back, unusual. And we were all praying, and people were praying about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And in my head, I'm looking at the Lamb of God. Yeah, okay, that's cool. And then it was almost like, this is the impression. It's not what happened. It's the impression. The Lamb, I'm looking at the Lamb, and the Lamb transformed into this big lion and started to snarl. Now, I immediately thought, oh, the enemy comes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So there's something wrong with me. I'm thinking of the Lamb of God. I'm seeing the devil. But it wasn't the devil. It was the Lion of Judah. Why? Because we've been praying in a manner which was very gentle, very, oh, the Lamb of God, you know, and come for the sin of the world. And the Holy Spirit wanted to say, no, release the Lion of Judah. I am also the Lion. Release me. Allow me to do my work. Allow me to step up. Many, 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 many people think that the devil's really strong because he's got a good PR department. And the reality is, he's not a patch. He's not within cooey of the power of God. There's no comparison. So with the enemy comes to deceive, to steal, to kill and destroy, I don't want a lamb guarding me. I want a lion. And in my life, I need to know the love and the gentleness of the lamb, but I need to know the strength of the lion. And Jesus is described as the Lion of Judah. So in this prayer meeting, I had a word. You do right to call me the Lamb of God. But I'm also the Lion of Judah. Step back. Do not be afraid. Allow me to do my work. Does God need us to defend him? No, he doesn't. But he does need us to recognize him. Sorry, mate?
He wants to know we're prepared to.
That's exactly right. He does. He wants us to know that we're prepared to step out with that. So you can have imagination, surrender it to the Lord. If you've got an imagination or you get something in your head, put it down and say, okay, what's this about? Allow God to take his time to reveal it to you. Imagination is a good way to move in prophecy. It can come as a single word or as a phrase. Again, personally speaking, sunrise. I used to love sunrise because it was laid back. You could really spend some time in prayer or in praise and worship. It wasn't structured, and I really enjoyed that. I prefer that. But I remember one Saturday during sunrise, and God just gave me a word. We're all standing around here, and the word was simply, Saturday looks like a bad day. I'm thinking, what? And I believe the Lord spoke to me. He went, Good Friday we remember because there's the cross. And Easter Monday we remember because there's a resurrection. What are you doing on Easter Saturday? What's actually happening on Saturday? If you were one of the disciples around the cross, you would be broken and you would be just wrecked because Jesus has been crucified and he's dead. And nothing is happening. And you're sitting there going, it's all come to naught. Where was Jesus on Easter Saturday? He was in hell, taking the keys of hell and death off Satan. There was a lot going on Easter Saturday. We just didn't see it. And in our lives, we think sometimes that nothing's happening. But there's a lot going on. God's working in each one of us. And if we let him, if we open ourselves to it, he will continue to work and reveal stuff in us. So the image or the word you get, said that's a bad day. How's that a prophecy? Well, it's not, but it's a speaking forth. And as you start to move into that, as you speak it out, because it became more intense for me, and it started to put it together in my head, I was able to speak that out. Now, most times, I'll get a word, and I'll go, please pick somebody else. Anybody else. And then somebody else will have a word, and I'll go, yeah, that was the word I had. That's good. I'm glad that got out. Why didn't I say something myself? Well, I don't want to look like I'm spiritual, because that's not good. I just want to be a normal bloke. I don't want to come across as being a spiritual bigwig, because I'm not. I live with me. I know what I'm like. But God can use me, and he will if I let him. Sometimes it comes as a scripture reference. The Lord will simply drop a scripture verse into your mind. And if that happens, or if you get a verse, dwell on it, think about it, and bring it forth if required. It is always to meet someone else's need. Sometimes it's just a deep compassion. You can be moved with compassion. And you don't know why, you've just got a real heart for somebody. And that often is an indicator that we should pray for that person. And from that prayer, I don't mean go over and pray with them directly. Pray for them while we're there. And from that prayer, often we will get a word. Because God will lay that on your heart again. If you don't get something, that's cool. But if you do, have the courage to use it. Now, we've got, for every gift, there's a counterfeit. For every part that God gives us, the world or Satan will counterfeit it. And we got lots of people going around telling weird things and going into trances and speaking into people's lives, you know, fortune tellers or whatever else. Scripture says real clear that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the will of the prophet. So the person who's speaking has control over what they're saying. Has anybody here ever seen any excesses in the prophetic gift? Yeah. Makes your stomach crawl, doesn't it? It does. Cause offence. And because we've seen excesses in it, we don't use it because we don't want to be part of that. What we need to do again is come back under authority and allow ourselves to be subject and in submission. You don't need to have a trance or carry on. One of the things it says in the scriptures when Paul was taken to the third heaven or whatever heaven he went to, it was like in a trance. What it actually means, the word there was ecstasis. And it means amazed or astounded by the vision he had. The same as when Peter had the vision of the unclean food in the blanket laid before him and said, this is all clean because I made it. He wasn't in a trance. He was amazed or astounded by what he saw. Do not think that you are going to go out of your mind and do some crazy thing if you move in prophecy, because you won't. God is an author of order. I've been in places where we've had people who have named themselves as prophets and they run around and they're prophesying over each other. I don't know any really good words to describe that. I know some bad words to describe it, but that's not need. That's self-aggrandizement. God doesn't put on a show. God speaks to people's hearts. Prophecy cannot be bought or used for financial benefit or appeals. Prophecy will always release people. It will never manipulate them. So if you get a word or you've had a word from somebody that started to be manipulation, that's not from God. And we need to be aware that prophecy is never to manipulate. It releases us into who we are and into the gifts we have, but also into an intimacy with God, which is at the heart of every gift, that we move into an intimacy with God. The whole point of the gifts is about relationship. All right. It can come as a riddle or an enigmatic statement. It can come as something which is hidden. Now, why would it come as a hidden? You know, if God wants to speak to us, why doesn't he just speak to us plainly? Ever thought that? You want to say something to me? Just speak to me. Tell me what it is. Often it comes as a riddle because we cannot self-fulfill a prophecy. When someone speaks a word into your life, there is a tendency for most of us to try and fulfill it. The Lord is going to use you. Okay, so what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to start being used. God's the author and the finisher. If he's going to use you, let him do it. Don't try and fulfill it yourself. All right? Allow God's time. Also, it comes as a riddle because what we discover for ourselves is always a little bit richer than what somebody else tells us. When we see, when we allow God to open up something for us personally, and it comes as a confirmation, we go, hold on a sec, that's what that meant. That's great. Now, that's happened in my life a couple of times. People have said, had a word over me. A couple of years later, you've gone, chunk. Comes back and you go, hold on, that's what they said. Isn't that fantastic? God's been working in me. Even if I didn't know. Saturday's a bad day. All right. Should we be passive or active in seeking prophecy? People who have sat down and done nothing have still had prophecies given to them. But we need to be active in speaking out, stepping out, and trusting God. See, Gary said it. Trust is a commitment to faith. We can have faith, but trust says, okay, I'm committed. I'm going to step out into this. Bang. I trust you. You'll catch me. So it's no good just sitting back and saying, oh, if you want to use me, you can. I used to do that with finance. If you want me to give, you better tell me. You know, I was waiting for a word from the Lord. I eventually got one, but it wasn't the one I wanted. We need to be proactive in this. One of the things that's really true, just raise your hand for a second. Do you believe that God can speak to you? Do you believe God wants to speak to you? Do you believe God does speak to you? Good. Why don't we speak it out? We believe God wants to speak to us. We believe God does speak to us. We believe God can use us. But too often we believe that God can speak to us, but we don't trust enough to let him. We need to trust that when God speaks to us, it's for purpose. There's a risk. As in all things, there's a risk. Where should you practice? Practice is a bad word for prophecy. Where should you first start to use your gift? Where it's safe. Where is it safe? Life groups. Small groups. Family. We need each other. Is that becoming boring? We need each other. If you want to move in the gifts of God, we need each other. So in your small groups, in your life groups, before you go out and stand on a mountaintop and preach to the world, start hearing from God and speaking his word out in specific areas. And we need to allow time, and we need to allow the presence of God and the opportunity for the presence of God to move in that area. Okay, nearly finished. Because prophecy can be abused, because it's such a powerful tool, it can be misused. We need to have five checks. Number one, is it biblical? It doesn't matter how good it sounds. It doesn't matter how powerful it's come across. It doesn't matter whether it's got bells and whistles. If it's not biblical, you put it on the shelf. I tend to think rather than put it on the shelf, you put it in the garbage can. Because if it's not biblical, the Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God, ever. So if there's a specific word, and I was having lunch with somebody today, they said, oh yeah, there was a friend of mine who was engaged, was going to get married to somebody, and then this person came up and had a prophecy over them and said that they shouldn't be getting married, that they should break up. And this is years ago. And they did, and guess what? The person who had the word then married the girl. We wonder why the world thinks we're wacko. I don't know what happened to that relationship, but it's not meant to be like that. Is it biblical? Stick with it. Is it beneficial? Does it build us up? Does it edify us? Do we get a prophecy that says God's going to come to your house and burn it down with you, your dog, your cat and your budgie because you've not been walking with the Lord and he's seen your heart and unless you clean up your act, you're dog meat. Well, that built me up. I'm edified. I'm encouraged. What about you, Ross? Good word? Yeah, right. If there's a correction in a prophecy, there's also the direction that says, but if you do this. Why did God send Jonah to Nineveh and why didn't Jonah want to go? God sent Jonah to warn Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go because he knew that if he warned Nineveh and Nineveh turned around and repented, God wasn't going to smash him. And Jonah didn't like Nineveh. It'd be like sending me to the Collingwood Football Club. I don't want to go. We need to check that, see whether what we're saying is beneficial, what is being said to us is beneficial. I had a very close friend, more than a friend, family member, who I loved to pieces. Still do. But they would occasionally ring me up and go, the Lord's just told me to tell you to be careful today. Anything in particular? No, just be careful. Can I ask why? Didn't say, just said be careful. Is there anything wrong with that? Yeah, there's something wrong with that. Because all it does is give you a sense of anxiety. You become fearful. I want to know what I can be careful about. I mean, doesn't the scripture say be careful for nothing? Now, they were doing the right thing and there was a sense of, they were moving in love. But it wasn't beneficial. Right? So God's not into writing horror stories. He wants to tell you something, he'll tell you, and it will have a positive, beneficial outcome. Is it fulfilled? Does the prophecy come to pass? Now, I'm going to prophesy right now. Forgive me. This time next year, it's going to rain. But before that, there'll be a dry spell. And people will tell us it's global warming. And it may be. But you need to watch and wait for that to be fulfilled. Is that a prophetic word? No. You don't have to be a prophet to say in Australia there's going to be droughts and there's going to be rain. It's not enough to tell the truth. It has to have a revelation in the truth. And it has to be specific. Now, there was a guy back in the late 80s who went around saying, I'm a prophet, God's called me to be a prophet, and there's going to be a great drought in Australia. We were already in a drought. The guy's disappeared. I don't know where he went. I don't care. But if a prophecy is going to be there, it needs to be specific and it needs to have a revelation aspect to it. Number four, does it confess Christ? Because any spirit that does not confess Christ has come as the incarnation of God himself, is not of God. Does it exalt Jesus? I've heard people prophesy over a ministry or over a man and say great things about the man or the ministry. What's my problem with that? The man and the ministry is only as good as they are surrendered to Christ. God is not jealous in that sense. But God doesn't want to see a man built up to the stage where he becomes crushed. We build men up into heroes and they're human and they fall. If a prophecy is true, it's going to have Jesus as the head. Whatever is given will be given with that embargo. Is it balanced? Now, you may have heard this before, but we need each other. We called away what is said, as I've already said. And there is nothing to fear in confirming a word. In actual fact, it is wisdom. And I tell you this, as I said with the group I work with, if you are giving a word and you get it wrong and the person says, you know, thanks, that was in your heart, I can understand that you gave me that at a good meaning. Unfortunately, I'm not taking that on board. I'm not receiving that. Check your heart, because guess what? If you can receive that, God will honour that and he will use you. And so we go, well, hold on a second, I gave you the word. If you don't like it, that's not my problem. You need to get your act right with God. Anybody starts doing that, you don't be listening to them. Okay. We are a priesthood, all of us. We're called to be a priesthood. We have the right and the responsibility to take whatever word is given to us by anybody. I don't care whether it's Pastor Oxley, Pastor Graham, me, anybody in the street. We can take that word, but we must examine it. We must hold it before God. If it's from God, we act on it. If we're not sure, wait, get confirmation. Often prophecy will confirm something we already know. If we can't demystify prophecy, because prophecy comes from the Spirit of God, and that in itself is a mystery. But we can take away some of the stuff around it that would cause us to step away from it. When somebody comes and gives you a word, you don't have to do what they say. You have the right and the responsibility to stand there and have it checked. If you've been to a church and they've had, I've gone to other churches and people have had prophecies after me. That's great. I mean, it's really encouraging. And if it's a good prophecy, which means one I like, then I'm happy. But if it's a bad prophecy, which means it's one I don't like, ha, false prophet. Look, I need, as an individual, I need your input into my life. You are part of the family. Every time we take communion, we have the same bread, we have the same wine, or grape juice. We are together, whether we like it or not, and we're there to encourage and build each other up. This is an area we can move into. One of the Culverson boys had a word for me 10 years ago, maybe 12, and he just came up to me at the end of the service and just said, God's laid this on my heart. And it was right. What he was saying was dead right. It was really encouraging. I still remember it. I probably haven't said anything to him about it, but it was true. And you remember when God gives you a word. Let's seek to be a blessing to others in the church. Let's not put prophecy as the domain of one or two people just because they're more confident to move in it. Let's start to stir up the gift that is within us, the Holy Spirit who is within us, who wants to use us as his messengers, as his mouthpieces. He speaks through us. Jesus said that these things you'll do and greater than what you've seen me do, greater than these. Pretty hard to think of anything greater than raising somebody from the dead or walking on water. But maybe the process was this. Jesus was in one place at one time talking to one bunch of people. And in this room, the Holy Spirit's in each one of us. And he can speak in a whole lot of other places to a whole lot of other people all the time. Are we allowing him to use us in this way? Are we seeking his prompting and his leading? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that there is no task you set before us that is too difficult. I thank you too, Father, that those you've called, you empower. I thank you too, Father God, that your word says to stir up the gift that's within us and to be a blessing to each other. I thank you that you're the source that binds us together. You are the glue that holds us together, that you are the power source as well. Father, let your word bring forth fruit, stir up the gift within us, allow us to move in your power and be a blessing to those around us, both inside and outside the church. In Jesus' name, amen.